Well, hello there, everyone. Welcome to the channel. It is Denise Salcedo. You're watching Speak Now Pro Wrestling. It is Tuesday, June 28th, and you know what that means. On Tuesdays, we are here chatting NXT 2.0. So first and foremost, I'm going to do a little catching up for all of you guys really quickly because it's been a very, very hectic last couple of days. And let me tell you that things are not slowing down. Things are going to keep going. I just came back from Chicago yesterday. And thankfully, I didn't have to do the Raw post show last night because, I didn't get to watch Raw last night because I literally came home so late from Chicago because my flight was delayed. And so I got here in time, had dinner, took a shower and went straight to bed because I was so exhausted. Like even like these short little trips get me tired so fast. And then today I woke up and I went and officially got my my wedding dress altered. So that was exciting. And then I came here and got straight to work to upload an episode of the latest, made it on time to watch NXT. And I'm going to keep this momentum going because this Thursday I fly out to Las Vegas. So just a heads up, everybody, I will be in Las Vegas for Money in the Bank this weekend. So I'll get there on Thursday. I'll be there Friday. There's going to be a media day on Friday. So keep an eye out for lots of interviews, hopefully to come for that for my YouTube channel on Friday. And then Saturday, I think I'm going to get another interview on Saturday and then watch the show and then do a post show with Sean over on Fightful. So it's going to be literally a busy nonstop couple of days, guys. So thank you so much, by the way, for everybody who's tuning in here today. One more thing before I get into the world of NXT 2.0. And the only reason why I'm plugging in so much stuff right now is because there's only so much to talk about NXT 2.0. I have no idea how I'm going to fill up this hour here today. But I do want to let you guys know, for those of you here who are AEW fans, over on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/Denise Salcedo, I did upload all of the Scrum videos and they're doing pretty good, especially the Jay White one has already surpassed 100,000 views. Now, for those of you who do not know, I do fund myself to all of these trips. I pay for them out of my own pocket. And the only way that I make my money back depends on how those videos do. So if you guys haven't already and you're interested in those Scrum videos, go check them out because we got to chat with Tony Khan, who always reveals some pretty good stuff in the media Scrum, including when he answered my question. He basically revealed that they're the information for the upcoming Ring of Honor show. We talked to Claudio Castagnoli, the former Cesaro. We talked to Thunder Rosa, FTR, Okada, and I'm blanking. There was a couple more, John Moxley. So make sure you guys go ahead and seriously check those out. And I also got a separate interview with Brian Pillman Jr. That is up also on the channel. So just a lot of content coming your way. But let's go ahead and see. We got some comments here in regards to NXT. This episode, I always like to give a quick rundown of what this episode kind of felt like. It's weird because usually when big wrestling weekends happened, I always feel like when I start watching a show the following week, like the shows I normally watch, I always feel like I don't remember anything that happened the week before. While I was watching NXT 2.0, I was like, man, where'd this come from? Oh, yeah. Like, it took me a lot longer to remember some of the things that occurred on last week's show, mainly because of all the other wrestling that occurred during the weekend. So my mind's just been like full with wrestling content. On top of that, so regarding that, I thought that today's show, it was pretty all right. It didn't feel like it had anything groundbreaking, but it also didn't have anything that was bad on the show or anything like that. It was a very simple, straightforward show for NXT 2.0. It wasn't bad, but it wasn't like, oh my God, groundbreaking, you got to watch this episode. It was neither of those two things. We are building towards the Great American Bash, and that's going to be taking place next week. And we got several matches that have been announced for that show. And it's looking to be like a pretty decent show. I'm pretty excited to talk about that next week. Today, we got a lot of focus on the women, which was really nice. And you're going to notice this right off the bat because our first match that we saw here today today was for the women. And personally, I'm feeling pretty excited about the future for the women in WWE, just based on some of the stuff that we've been seeing on NXT 2.0. But let's get some comments in here and see what people are saying in regards to their overall thoughts. And then I'll get right into it and we'll recap everything in a nice chronological format. Also, for those of you who want to take part in the chat, you do have to be a subscriber for F4W online for at least 10 minutes, and then you'll be able to leave a comment. It's my trick, my evil trick to get you subscribed. But we got Bonkers LFC who says, this NXT episode wasn't it weird ending with Breaker and Grimes. I didn't think it was a weird ending. And I know some people, like, I think, like, I saw one tweet of somebody, like, showing some concern or something like that. I didn't think it was a weird ending to NXT. I thought it was a different ending to NXT, and I didn't hate it. And we'll talk about that more in just a second. But thank you so much to Bonkers LFC for getting us started right there. Brandon Rosen, I'm going to answer this. I know this is non-NXT related, but I do have to mention this because he says, Jay White was particularly salty, wasn't he? If you have not seen that Jay White press scrum, it's very short. It's not that long. And let me tell you something. The reason why it wasn't that long is because Jay White scared the crap out of everybody in that room. After like three questions, ain't nobody wanted to ask Jay White a question because they were scared as hell. Jay White is a brilliant freaking heel. And if you don't believe me or whatever, go watch that media scrum and you'll see the man just freaking turn it on, guys. Like, really good shit. Like, so when Jay White came out, so you guys got to understand, when I'm at the scrums, not only am I like tweeting and taking pictures and all of that, but I'm recording. And so there's a lot of stuff that I have to deal with in terms of like making sure that I stop and press record when, you know, they're swapping out people. Sometimes I got to change my battery because my battery dies after a while, you know, that sort of thing. A lot of techie stuff, right? So I was doing this thing where I was walking from my camera to my seat because it was a little bit of a distance, and I heard all the commotion happening, and I was like, what's happening? And like for a second, I kind of had this freak out of moment of like, oh my God. And then I kind of, you know, realized what was happening. But either way, it was good stuff. So I would definitely recommend you guys check it out here. Let's see what else we got here and see what people are saying. We got a lot of people putting over the stuff for Jay White's kayfabe press conferences are always great. Anyways, all right, guys. So let's go ahead and get into NXT 2.0. So we're going to go ahead and kick things off with the first match. And this was Katana and Kayden versus Cora Jade and Roxanne Perez. So now, for those of you who have been listening to these NXT 2.0 post shows for quite some time, you guys know that I love both of these teams. I've been loving Kayden and Katana. The Katana name change, man. I still got to call her Casey. Anyway, so Katana and Kayden, I've been loving them for quite some time because they are such a freaking good team. And they're kind of that team on NXT 2.0 that to me haven't really had that like breakout moment, you know? Like they've been good, they've been solid, but for the most part, they've been kept in a certain spot, in a certain level. Well, now the last like couple of weeks, mainly like the last 2 weeks, really, they got a gear change. I'm starting to feel like they're starting to like bump them up on the roster in terms of like what they're doing with them. So it was last week, I believe, where they had they got a nice win over Valentina and Yulisa. That was perfectly nice. Set them up for this match with Cora and Roxanne Perez. But clearly Cora and Roxanne are kind of seen on a different level, mainly because they're like the popular ones, you know? Roxanne Perez came into NXT 2.0 with a lot of fanfare. She won the NXT breakout tournament. There's been a lot of focus on her. And in terms of Cora Jade, there's been a lot of focus on her too. And, you know, she was doing the NXT War Game. She was a big focal point in that. Her feud with Natty was pretty interesting as well. So having them come together, they're more of the fan favorite team. So I think all of us kind of knew heading into this that this was going to be Cora Jade and Roxanne Perez getting the win. More so because the winner of this team would go on to the Great American Bash to face the team of Gigi Dolin and JC Jane. So we did end up getting Cora Jade and Roxanne Perez to get the win here. But I really liked that it was in a match against Katana and Kayden. And the reason I say that is, again, because they're a good tag team. And therefore, when you beat a good women's tag team on NXT 2.0, the more your victory means something. Like, this wasn't just like no rando victory over two random girls. No, Kayden and Katana have pretty much, like, they're starting to earn their, like, I don't want to say earn their stripes. I don't want to say that. I feel like that's not the right way to put it, but they're getting up there. And so to be a team like that, to like them, I think it actually kind of meant a little something, you know? So I liked Cora Jade and Roxanne in this match, along with Katana and Kayden, four talented women in there, two great tag teams, good stuff there. I want to kind of point out, there was a nice moment that I enjoyed between Cora and Roxanne. And that moment was when Cora did that double stomp. And I believe she did it on Katana. She did a double stomp on her. And then right away, Cora Jade followed up with the drop kick. I freaking love that little combo that they did. I thought that looked pretty great. In the end, Perez wins after she hits her pop rocks. So she wins for her team. This was good. I'm excited to see them go up against Gigi Dolin and JC Jane. And I really hope that they become NXT Women's Tag Team Champions, because I am completely on board with them becoming champions. They're likable. They're fun. They're cute. They're good. They work. Okay. They work. So I was definitely a big fan of this. A good match. We got Fernando Zayas, who says that this was a solid opener to kick off NXT. And I completely agree with that as well. All right, guys. So let's go ahead and move on. This was another match. The next match that we got wasn't really anything special. It was a squash, but not so much a squash. It was like somewhat of a squash. This was Ike Manjiro versus Giovanni Vinci. And here's the thing. Ike Manjiro, unfortunately, you know, he's a lot of fun in the ring, right? He's a lot of fun, but he necessarily isn't somebody that you kind of take seriously on the NXT 2.0 roster, because that's the way that he's been set up. That's the way he's been presented. And so this match, to me, like, immediately, I kind of thought, oh, well, I don't have to take this match seriously, because that's like the implication that you get when you see, unfortunately, when you get Ike Manjiro in a match like this against Giovanni. I think you know pretty, that this match was essentially made just to get Giovanni a quick win over Ike Manjiro, who's pretty much just there. He's pretty much, I don't want to say he's a jobber on NXT 2.0, but they've kind of had him like that. So I feel like it kind of does apply to this. Anyways, there was a cool moment. I really like Giovanni's tornado DDT. That was pretty nice. They gave Ike Manjiro a little bit of offense during this. So it wasn't entirely a squash. He did get some offense during this. But for the finish, Giovanni hits the power bomb, really great power bomb, gets the win here. And that's kind of about it, guys. Like, there really wasn't much else to add about this. This was probably the part of the show that I didn't really care for, mainly because, okay, Giovanni gets the win. Good. You know, they're, you know, pushing him now as a singles wrestler, since we know he didn't get moved up with freaking Gunther. So the one thing that I do want to mention, and I don't remember, and maybe I didn't catch it at the last match that he had, but because you know how he does the entrance and he gets the photos and all of that, but I didn't notice, and I don't know if they did this last week too, but I didn't notice that after he wins his match, they put up in the Italian words of Victoria, or like victory in the Italian words. I just realized it today. I didn't notice it the last time. I don't know if they had it the last time, but I noticed it today. So I thought that was pretty damn funny. So I did like that little extra touch. I've been liking these little extra touches that they've been doing with Giovanni. So it was perfectly fine. Brandon Rosen says, you can say it. He's a jobber. I feel bad. I feel bad sometimes calling people jobbers, especially if I like them. If I like them, I feel like a douche calling somebody a jobber. But because I'm like, oh, I like Ike Manjiro. He's harmless. He's funny. And if given an opportunity, he can be a good time, man. So I do feel bad saying like, oh, you know, he's a jobber or something. Thank you so much to Scoucher Boy for the very nice comment. I read it here really quickly as I was talking. I was multitasking. I was like talking and reading at the same time. You know, skills, major skills. All right, guys, BTW, I'm still running on a little bit of sleep, so my mind is just not all there, guys. And let me tell you something. I got to tell you something. So today, I've kind of been running on a streak of, I've got so much going on right now that I cannot take the time to change my shoe. Let me explain this for those of you who are like, what the hell is she talking about? Today, when I went to go get my dress altered, I was walking up the stairs with all my stuff. So I was carrying a bunch of stuff. I was walking up the stairs wearing a platform shoe and I tripped. I didn't trip, but my ankle went like, you know, it just went the opposite direction, the direction that it wasn't supposed to go in. Well, the strap of my shoe broke. It broke, completely snatched off. I have nothing holding my foot down on this shoe. I taped it down, the tape came off, and I have been so busy that I am doing this show right now with half a shoe, and it's very uncomfortable. But that's how busy things have been here right now, that I don't have time to take to change this shoe. Anyways, and CC Fung says it's funny to say jobber. I'll start saying it. You know what? I'll start incorporating a little bit more here today. All right, let's go ahead and continue on from here, guys. Let's see what we got. All right, let's get into Brooks, Briggs, and Fallon. They came out. They're NXT UK. Brooks and Briggs. Briggs Jensen. Oh my God, Josh Briggs. There you go. They're the brand new NXT UK champions. Good for them. That's perfectly fine. Nice little thing there. They share some bromance in the ring. Pretty Deadly comes out. They end up brawling here. Fine. You know what? I've liked them so far. Like all of the skits that they've done backstage, especially when they first started getting presented to us on NXT 2.0, they're pretty funny guys, down to earth. It kind of feels like they're... It's interesting because I kind of felt like they were leaning a certain direction with their character work. I felt like they were going to make them like super, super country boys, but like in a way that was kind of uncomfortable. And they didn't do that. And so I'm glad that they haven't done that because I want to like them. I want to like them as a team. And so far, I've been liking what they've been bringing. So this was good. I mean, Pretty Deadly. I freaking love Pretty Deadly based on what I've seen from them on NXT 2.0. I love their style, man. And I'm not just talking about their in-ring style. I'm talking about their style. So that was good. I like the fact that they're doing this because these are two teams. One that feels a little bit more... you know, with Pretty Deadly, I feel like a bigger fan of Pretty Deadly just because they're a little bit more established. Their in-ring work is a little bit more of what I prefer. And then with Josh Briggs and Brooks Jensen, they have the personality and they have the vibe of likable guys. So that's why I'm like, okay, you know what? They're not on the spot right now where the Creed brothers are. So give them something. Give them something to work with. Give them a storyline. Give them something. And that's what we're seeing here with them now as NXT UK champions. I feel like it gives them some sort of purpose, some sort of meaning on the roster. And you throw in Pretty Deadly in there as well. And, you know, they have a lot of personality too. So it kind of works out really good. And they're polar opposites in terms of character. So I really like that they did this. I'm looking forward to what they're doing here and the idea of this all here today. Let's see what we got here. Jane Nana says, you're a savage, Denise. What did I do? Oh, M. Duress is podcasting injured. I'm not kidding you. My shoe, look at this. I'm going to show you my shoe. I'm not going to show my foot because I don't know if anybody here has a foot fetish and I'm not about that life, but I kid you not. This is my shoe right now. This is embarrassing. This is not what a shoe is supposed to look like. And this is what's worse. I really like this shoe. Okay. And look at this. So yeah, that's what I've been working with here today. All right, let's go ahead and move on from here. It's very uncomfortable to do this show like this. All right, moving on from here, guys. Let's see what we got. Also, shout out to Kevin Bailey for the very kind and generous comment as well. Yeah, we did get another promo from JD McDonough. We argued about how to properly pronounce his name last week. So good to see him do his little promo once again. Good stuff. Sheldon Jackson sends in our first super chat of the day. Was it because of the poor shoe? You were like, oh, this poor girl, give her $5 because she needs a shoe. Sheldon Jackson says, I think Kushida leaving NXT and returning to being the ace of New Japan Pro Wrestling Junior Division was a smart business decision and not get jobbed out with Jiro. I cannot disagree with this at all. And I can't imagine anybody disagreeing with this at all. I mean, poor Kushida, damn, because when it was the black and gold brand, Kushida had a lot of really phenomenal matches. And sadly, he just did not, I don't want to say he didn't fit into this new version of NXT 2.0. Because that sucks to say, because I think if given an opportunity, he would have fit in some sort of capacity. But it just wasn't a right fit anymore. And we saw that with a lot of guys, including Kushida. Thank you so much to Brandon Rosen, who says, for the shoe fund. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Let's see what else we get here, guys. Let's go ahead and move into, sorry, I'm dying of these comments. Scoucher Boy says, Denise has gone full Cody mode. People are, hey, you know what? You should be like, at F4W Online, how dare you let Denise Salcedo do a podcast with a broken freaking shoe? I'm going to be like Kurt Angle now. I did a podcast with a broken freaking shoe. All right, I didn't mean to be yelling about this shoe. Apologies. All right, moving on from here. We got Indy Hartwell versus Kiana James. I kind of said this last week, and I want to reiterate this once again, is that I'm really digging Kiana James. Like, I'm digging this girl. I don't know what it is. Last week, it was more so of, like, the fact that she had her character down. And, you know, it came across like she knew what she was doing, and she knew what she had to do and what mark she had to hit, essentially. I was so happy that she got the win here today, because I just didn't think that Indy Hartwell should get the win over Kiana James here. But the way that they also set up this match, it wasn't like, so Kiana James, she got the finish, she got the win very abruptly, like very, very abruptly. So they set it up in a way where it's almost like Indy Hartwell like really didn't see it coming. You know, she went out there and she tried her best. There was a moment that I really, really liked from Indy Hartwell. I think she went for like a springboard elbow attempt, but Kiana James moved out of the way, and that's when she ended up getting the abrupt finish. So I did like the way they made Indy Hartwell look in this match. Like, this was literally the best match Indy Hartwell has had in a really long time. And that's saying a lot, because like I've said before, she became more of a personality on the show versus an actual wrestler. And so having her in this match, I thought was a really good way to kind of get her, you know, her sea legs once again in the ring, or for at least for us to be refamiliarized with who Indy Hartwell is inside the ring as a wrestler versus just a personality. But I still thought that Kiana James should have gotten the win, and she did. I like the way they're starting to set up Kiana James. I think there's a lot of really good possibilities. And just to throw some out there, I really want to see Kiana James go at it with like Mandy Rose, because they both have like the, you know, the bitchy personality, and I would really kind of like to see that. You know, like Mean Girls versus Mean Girls. So I would like that with Kiana James. I feel like maybe even if you had her befriend Tiffany Stratton, I would be into that. I kind of just want to see like Mean Girl on Mean Girl action. Like, that's what I would be here for. So I did like that. Again, I'm really liking so far what they're doing with Kiana. The little stuff that we've been seeing from her, I've been a fan. In terms of Indy Hartwell, I mean, this is going to clearly keep going for a bit with her and Kiana. So we'll see how this works out for her. All right, let's go ahead and see what people are saying. This is from Leighton Illustrious, who says, Indy has been lost since Gargano had a real kid, replaced with a real kid. I feel bad for Indy, because, you know, she goes out there, she does what she needs to do. She got herself over. I've said this before, but when it came to the way, she legitimately was one of the ones that really benefited from it, because Johnny Gargano, he wasn't really going to get anything out of the way. He was already, you know, an established person on NXT. This was below him. Like, doing the way, I thought, was below Johnny Gargano. And so he wasn't going to get anything out of that. Candice LeRae, you know, she's, you know, so associated, well, since she's married to Johnny Gargano, she had more of that association. So I didn't think she got too much out of it either. Austin Theory, I was not a fan of him in the way. I thought that some of the stuff, that comedy that they did, some weeks were a hit, some weeks were a miss. And I thought a couple more of the weeks were misses. So I really wasn't digging Austin Theory in the way. And Indy Hartwell, with her whole, you know, I'm in love with the creeper, Dexter Loomis, I think that was the one thing that I think actually worked, and it worked to get Indy Hartwell, you know, become become somebody that I think the fans started to enjoy seeing on the screen. So I think in terms of all the members of the way, Indy Hartwell was the one that benefited the most from that. But we've mentioned this 100 times on the show. When you take out Dexter Lumis and you take out Persia Parada from the Indy Hartwell package, considering how much time they devoted into this, like, over like a year of these people being a so focal, like being a major part of who Indy Hartwell is on the NXT roster, it did take from her. And now she's, you know, trying to find herself again on this roster. Who is Indy Hartwell on her own? Like, who is Indy Hartwell without the way? Who is Indy Hartwell without Dexter? Who is Indy Hartwell without Persia? Who is Indy Hartwell on her own? And this is kind of like, I feel like they're exploring that because I think she needs a change. She needs a change because right now she's kind of like damsel in distress. To me, I kind of see her as like damsel in distress, trying to find a friend, not fitting in with anybody or anything. So I would actually like it if they changed up her look, maybe her gear. I don't know, kind of gave her a little bit of like a just, you know, refresher, like refresh the character or the persona of Indy Hartwell, because right now it still feels like she's stuck in the past. And I feel we need to see a new presentation of Indy Hartwell. And this was step one to that in getting her in more singles matches, step one. But I would like to see a little change in Indy Hartwell just because I think, yeah, she just needs a change, guys. She needs a change. All right. So let's go ahead and move on from here. And let's see. Let's go into... This is from Layton Illustrious. I'll read this as well, who says, it looked like they were going to put her with Perez and Jade for an episode. Yeah, you know what, though? I didn't want that. Like, for one episode, perfectly fine. But she just, to me, in all honesty, she didn't fit in with Cora and Roxanne. She didn't fit in. Cora and Roxanne are, they are their own thing. You don't need to add to them. It felt like, it felt too third wheel to me, honestly. I like Cora and Roxanne on their own without the addition of Indy Hartwell. And, you know, it's kind of like, you know, you know how many times when people are doing like screen tests for like movies and actors and, you know, who gets the part and who does this, like you can have a great actor, but they might not have the on-screen chemistry with the other person. And I'm not saying that Indy Hartwell didn't have chemistry with them. It was just more so like, it didn't fit. It didn't fit like a puzzle piece, you know? So I feel like Roxanne and Cora were better off on their own. Like, for one night, harmless. But she needs to find her own thing to do on the roster here. And let's go ahead. And this is from Ahmed, who says, I disagree. Indy and the Team 2001 is amazing. Again, I think that they're better off on their own as a duo and have Indy do her own thing. All right, so now let's go ahead and move on from here. Let's get into, I really love this segment, guys. Okay, so unfortunately, Troy Two Dimes Donovan, as of, I believe it was 3 weeks ago, was released by WWE due to a violation of a policy. The last 2 weeks of NXT were pre-taped, so he was still part of these. And so this was the first one where he was not part of this. And a lot of people were wondering, you know, how are they going to write him off? What are they going to do? What's going to happen? How are they going to explain it? Especially because on the last episode of NXT, Tony D'Angelo had essentially kind of given them both a raise, sort of. Like, he gave them gifts, he gave them a brand new watch, he, you know, thanked them for being great and wonderful and all of these things. And so now this week what they did is they basically showed Channing Stacks and Tony D'Angelo on this like bridge, and it's nighttime and they're on this bridge and they're looking down at the water. And, you know, Tony D'Angelo starts talking about how basically like Troy Two Dimes basically did him wrong. Like, he did him wrong. And so he got, so because he did him wrong, they pretty much alluded to the fact that they threw his body over the bridge and basically murdered him. Like, they murdered him, guys. Like, that's the thing that we're supposed to grab from this. That Tony D'Angelo and Stacks have murdered Two Dimes. Okay, I don't know how else to explain this. They murdered him. And then he says, well, now he's sleeping with the fishes. And that's something that Tony D'Angelo has been saying for quite some time. The whole sleeping with the fishes thing, which when he first said it, I had to be educated on what that meant. But now that we all know and we're in good hands here, this was, I'm not not gonna lie to you. I loved this. I loved this because it made Tony D'Angelo is supposed to be this guy who doesn't live by the, you know, the proper rules. This is not a guy that is an abiding citizen here. He's going to do things his way. You know, he's more of the mafia and mob and all of this nonsense stuff. That's who he is. He's a badass MF-er, okay? Like, things go differently for Tony D'Angelo. That's the story. That's the persona. That's the character. So we're supposed to, you know, buy that he's, you know, doing things the way that he wants to do things. So now they're basically saying, oh, well, we murdered this guy because he did me dirty. He did me wrong. He betrayed me, right? Okay. So he did it. He murdered Two Dimes. That's the thing. And then he threw the watch in the water, the watch that he had just given him. So yeah, I love this. This is great. I loved it. If anybody did not love this, I can't agree with you. I love this. This was great. I like that thing. I thought it added a lot to Tony D'Angelo's character. Come on, no more kidnapping. This went beyond kidnapping. We've seen so many kidnappings in the NXT parking lot. This time, we got a murder. Things are serious now, guys. Things are serious. All righty. Zeno Hour says Tony D killed Two Dimes. Alameo. Brandon says he got whacked. Mehmed says, no, they didn't kill him. He just sleeps with the fishes. He's going to be whale food. He's going to be whale food. Also saying this is a hilarious segment. I loved it. I really, really did. Oh, man, that was good. That was my favorite part of NXT today, guys. That was the best part of NXT. Wesley cuts a promo, says he's not weak because, okay, so basically this is directed at Trick Williams, and you guys know Trick Williams is basically, they had a confrontation last week. It was great. I loved everything that they did between Trick Williams and freaking Wesley last week. That was phenomenal. The tears, everything, phenomenal. Okay, so this week he does a like pre-recorded thing where he's basically saying that, you know, Trick Williams thinks that he's weak because he wears his heart on his sleeve, right? And he says it's not weak, it's strength. He says nothing nor anyone will stop him from finding inner peace in the ring, not Trick Williams. So now, here's the thing, guys. Like, I'm still trying to figure out the new Wesley character. I thought he was going to be a tropical character. I don't know what they were doing with him last week, but that like a couple weeks ago, whatever. Now I'm thinking they're going with, like, I don't want to say a hippie, and he's not a hippie by any means, but he has like a very I don't know, when you use words like I wear my heart on my sleeve and nothing's gonna stop me from finding inner peace in the ring, sounds a little hippie-ish, right? Like, you know, this earth, like I'm connected to the earth and I wear white and long hair and flowers in my hair, you know? Kind of like, I don't know. That's the vibe that I got. So is Wesley supposed to be a hippie now? I don't think so. I don't think so. He's a free spirit. There you go. A free spirit. I agree with that, Leighton. I think he's getting the free spirit character. I don't know, guys. I don't know. Anyways, I like Wesley, really do, and I'm wishing him the best here on NXT 2.0, and I hope whatever they do with him, I hope that it works. Brandon Rose says, I think that's a stretch. It is a stretch. It's totally a stretch. He's not a hippie, unless he comes out next week with flowers in his hair. But no, I legitimately think that he's going more of the free spirit route, like where they're just, you know, he's a happy person, or trying to be happy. He's trying to find his inner peace. He's not Joe Gacy. And that leads us to Joe Gacy and the Diet versus Roderick Strong and the Creed Brothers. So it was funny because when this match started, I thought, man, they're still having the Creed Brothers team up with Roderick Strong. I'm over this. I think they should have been done already. I feel like that's it. Like, now they're making us wait too long for this breakup. And I thought they had already broken up. And that was my mindset going into this match. In regards to Joe Gacy and the Diet, I feel exactly the same way I felt last week. I hate the costumes. I hate them. They're very distracting. They're very distracting of the in-ring work. They're very distracting, period. I'm not a fan of the red hoods or wrestling in those red hoods. It takes away so much. It doesn't feel cool to me. It feels silly. It feels goofy. So that's the one thing I'm not a fan of. And I wasn't a fan of it last week. I'm not a fan of it this week. There was a really good spot that I did like, though, when the Diamond Mine did that triple suplex. That was fine. We got a lot of Joe Gacy in this match. Make that, take that for however you please. Let's talk about what happened in the end. Let's talk about the finish, because that's really what I actually want to talk about. So the Creed brothers were essentially bound to get the win here, but Roderick Strong is the story is he's the leader that thinks he knows best, and, you know, whatever he decides is the best, right? And he's trying to teach the Creed brothers a lesson. Okay, fine. So the Creed brothers were about to get business taken care of, but Roderick Strong tags himself in. And when he tags himself in, there's a little bit of some conflict between the Creed brothers and Roderick Strong. So this leads to Roderick Strong getting pinned. So he essentially ruins the match for the team and, basically by tagging himself in. Okay, so the Diet wins. Good. You know what? They deserve let me rephrase that. They do not deserve a win, but it's good that they got a win. Fine. They're this new stable that they're doing. Fine. Get them a win. Coolio. But after this, they argue in the back. Roderick Strong and the Creed brothers, they're arguing in the back. They're going off. So Roderick basically says that next week at the Great American Bash, it'll be Roderick Strong and Damon Kemp going on to face the Creed brothers for the tag team titles. I think what's going to happen here is Damon Kemp is either going to betray Roderick Strong or help out the Creed brothers in some sort of fashion. I just feel like Damon Kemp, I can't really read him. I feel like there were some weeks where I'm like, okay, he's totally not buying Roderick Strong's BS. And then there's other weeks where I'm like, okay, fine. They're friends. But I have a feeling that Damon Kemp is going to be the one that ruins the opportunity for him and Roderick Strong to become champions. I don't think Damon Kemp likes Roderick Strong as much as Roderick Strong might think Damon Kemp likes him. So that's kind of the vibe that I'm getting where I think this is headed. I kind of want to see this like happen already in terms of I want them to shut up Roderick Strong already, have them break up the Diamond Mine officially, and that's it. Move on from here. I'm already feeling the need to move on. So I hope that this is the big blow off and that's it. But chances are it won't be, but I kind of do hope it is the big blow off already. Anything else that I wanted to add about this? No, that's it. Let's see what we got here. This is from Cole Henderson, who says the Snuggy Combat Club forged in comfort. I love it. So for Christmas, I got this like big giant, what do you call those? Those freaking blankets that are sweaters, those sweater blankets. They're huge, man. They're huge. They're heavy. I swear to God, they look exactly what the Diet is working, like wearing. Exactly. It's except that it's pink. I wish it was pink. All right. So let's go ahead and move on from here and see what people are saying. And we got Scuba Steve in here says, I wish you would resign, Denise, and take back a stage role. You are so cringe. I'm sorry, Scuba Steve. I'm here to stay. I'm just a human trying to make a living. And I'm sorry if I trigger you on this show. But Scuba Steve, I don't know what else to say. You want to... All right. Sorry. That made me laugh. All right. Moving on from here, guys. Let's see what else we got and see what people are saying here. This is from Fernando, who says, I love seeing the Creed brothers finally break away from the Diamond Mine. Me too. I feel the exact same way, dude. Exactly the same way. Like, I'm at the point, I just said it right now, where I'm ready to move on. Ready to move on, guys. Completely ready. All right. So let's go ahead and see what we got here. This is another comment from Fernando, who says, I love seeing the Creed brothers finally break away from Roderick Strong. They deserve better. Completely agree with all of those comments here. All right, guys. Before we go ahead and move on from here, let's go ahead and jump into, before we get to the rest of NXT 2.0, let's talk really quickly about, let me move a little bit to the left here. Let's talk about Money in the Bank, because we got Money in the Bank happening this weekend. And so you guys know that we are sponsored here by Wrestle Rumble. That is right. If you guys want to go ahead and enter the Money in the Bank Pick'em contest, you can go ahead and head on over to WrestleRumble.com. So you guys know how it works. You purchase an entry, you get a form, and you basically answer the prop questions that they put on the form for that given pay-per-view. So some of the prop questions that are currently what I've been given or what I've been told, some of the prop questions for Money in the Bank are like, will the Ronda Rousey Natalia match end in a pinfall or a submission? Will Seth Rollins be put through a table? Will the Carmella versus Bianca Belair match go over or under 13 minutes? Very, very simple questions, but you never know. You could be right or you could be wrong. Either way, you have a real opportunity at actually earning some cold, hard cash. So for this time, we got Money in the Bank Pick'em. Fourth place. Whoever gets fourth place will be getting 10 mystery Hasbro figures. Pretty awesome, especially if you're a toy fanatic. Third place will be winning $100. Second place will be taking home $300. And first place has a great opportunity at winning $500. Now, that is a lot of money. I would love any of these prizes. If you would too and you want to add a little extra layer of fun and kind of spice things up for you while you're watching Money in the Bank, you are more than welcome to enter the Wrestle Rumble Money in the Bank Pick'em Contest. Once again, head on over to WrestleRumble.com. Also, the cutoff time to enter the Money in the Bank Pick'em Contest is Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Once again, Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. All right, guys, and let's go ahead and continue on from here. Also, thank you so much to Reductive92 for the very kind comment. He says, you're doing great, Denise. Well, it looks like I don't have to resign anymore because I got a nice super chat. Thank you so much to Reductive92 for the very generous super chat and for the very lovely comment. Thank you so much to Reductive. Guys, please give them some love in the chat here. I feel like we need to give people extra love here. And I have to make this new graphics too for the super chatters because I've been very busy and haven't been able to make those new graphics, but it's happening. Also, shout out to Tyrese Johnson, who is a new viewer here today. Thank you so much for tuning in. All right, guys. So now after this, let's go ahead and continue on from here. Let's get into Sanga versus Zion Quinn. So you know what? I was a fan of this. Now, I know for those of you who have been tuning into these shows, you're like, what? Denise was a fan of something that a segment involving Sanga and Zion Quinn? This is new. Well, maybe not so new for Sanga because I have given credit where credit is due. And I do like the man's intensity. I really do. Sue me. I'm a Sanga fan. Okay. Sue me. I'm a Sanga fan. As for Zion Quinn, a lot of what he's been doing for me, I would say 99% of what I've seen Zion Quinn on NXT 2.0 has been sort of like not my favorite thing. It's been like a miss. I haven't been really digging the stuff that they've had Zion Quinn do. It feels a little bit forced, and I feel like they haven't found something that's just right for him, right? That feels natural. And this, to me, versus Sanga, I liked this. So the reason why I enjoyed it was right away we had Zion Quinn attack him while Sanga was making his entrance. Okay, fine, that makes sense. Sanga's this big guy. Why wouldn't Zion Quinn? I mean, Zion Quinn's a pretty big guy too, but he's not as big as Sanga. But why wouldn't he try to attack him from the behind? All right, fine, I appreciate that. I like how this got started. This got started with like two big dudes essentially, you know, going at it. I was a fan of that. This actually made me feel interested in them. I really liked Sanga hitting the shoulder tackle. I thought it looked pretty good, especially because he actually sells the intensity. There's a little personality in there. I see it. I see it coming through more and more each and every single week. I also like seeing Sanga tossing out Zion Quinn out of the ring. That was a pretty cool visual. In the end, he chokeslams him and gets the win. This was harmless. I like this. I saw a little bit more personality in Sanga. That was a win. Zion Quinn kind of being more of like the, kind of bringing out a little bit more of like the big, you know, I don't want to say monster vibe, but bringing out that vibe, I think kind of felt a little bit more natural to who Zion Quinn should be on NXT 2.0. So I didn't hate this. I was perfectly fine with all of this. Alrighty, guys. And let's go ahead and continue on from here, guys. Let's see. Let's get into some backstage segments that we got. Wendy Chu Wendy Chu, I don't know how to describe this. Like, it's funny because certain weeks I'm like, for the most part, I like the Wendy Chu character. I've been a fan of it for quite some time. And I've been very interested to see and how they continue adding to her character because it's such a, it's different. It's very different, but it's very easy to like come up with the creative things for Wendy Chu to do all these cute little backstage segments with accessories and whatnot. And they basically had her doing a backstage segment where she's, you know, in her bed and she's waking up and she's got these little eye mask and it says Choo Choo. And then afterwards, she's like brushing her teeth. She's essentially Lizzie McGuire. Like that's what she is. She's literally Lizzie McGuire. So anyways, I like Wendy Chu. I like what they're doing with her. For the most part, I guess it fits NXT 2.0 with this. It's different. You know what? She's making it work. Okay. This was harmless. Lash Legend says that Alba Fyre is out permanently out of action after being injured in a match with Legend last week. And Lash Legend issues a warning to everybody else in the NXT women's division. I do not know what this means. I don't know what to make of this. I don't know. She could either come out of nowhere and cost Lash Legend a match. Maybe she's done. I don't know. Maybe she's moving up. Who the hell knows? We'll find out pretty soon. Let's go ahead and see what people are saying about this. Not much about this one. All right, let's go ahead and move on from here. Let's get into Mandy Rose versus Nikita Lyons. So this was technically the main event of the show because afterwards we had a confrontation. A lot of people seem to be pretty excited about this match on Twitter. From what I saw, people were like, oh yeah, like this is happening. You know, Nikita versus Mandy Rose. Nikita is back from her injury, so good for her. She's back. Happy to see her return. Mandy Rose looked freaking great tonight. Like, amazing. Looked amazing. This was I think what maybe we were expecting. I don't think we were expecting any sort of clean victory for either woman here. So we essentially had Gigi Dolin and JC Jane come in after a while, cost the match after they attacked Nikita Lyons. And that's how Nikita Lyons wins by DQ. So this was like for the match itself, there were like maybe a couple of decent moments. It wasn't terrible, but it wasn't like some breakout performance or anything like that. I liked Mandy going after Nikita, getting her with some rights. I like Nikita, you know, basically doing the shoulder tackle to her midsection of Mandy Rose. That was all fine and dandy. In the end, we do see Cora and Roxanne coming out to help out Nikita Lyons because they are going up against Gigi Dolin and JC Jane. So this kind of just furthered that story and put a little bit of a pause between Nikita Lyons and Mandy Rose. So this was fine. This was more so just to keep this story moving. Now let's go ahead and talk about some of the matches that have been announced for the Great American Bash, and that is going to be taking place next week. We have Roxanne Perez and Cora Jade taking on Gigi and JC. We have the Creed Brothers taking on Roderick Strong and Damon Kemp for the NXT Tag Team Championships. We have Wendy Chu versus Tiffany Stratton. We also have Bron Breakker versus Cameron Grimes for the NXT Championship. I'm really looking forward to that, and I'll talk more about that in just a second. And we also have Carmella Hayes versus Grayson Waller for the NXT North American Championship. So Breakker and Grimes, they basically close out the show with a confrontation. And basically, I gotta be honest, guys. Bron Breakker's feud with Cameron Grimes has been my favorite thing that Bron Breakker has done as of late here on NXT 2.0. Like, legit. I think that Cameron Grimes is really doing a phenomenal job. You know, Cameron Grimes has been a great character for a long time. We've already known that he's good in the ring. We already know he has charisma, he has personality, he's good on the mic, etc. But mostly, like, he was doing more so of like the comedy stuff, even when he was a babyface, whether he was a babyface or a heel, which most of the time he was like a heel, he was still doing the comedy stuff, right? But it was working and it was great and it was getting over with people. And now, you know, we're seeing the shift in Cameron Grimes where he's not doing, you know, the stuff that he was doing more so with the comedy. Now he's gone more into like this heelish role, but not in a comedic way, more so in a serious way. He's a serious heel now. And we're seeing a different side of Cameron Grimes. And I'm really appreciating this different side of Cameron Grimes. Not that I didn't appreciate the stuff before because it was good, but this is different and I'm liking it. And I feel like he's the first opponent that I'm legitimately taking seriously in this match with Bron Breakker. And I'm not going to lie to you, part of me wants to see Cameron Grimes become NXT champion. I'm not that in love with Bron Breakker as NXT champion anymore because I think they just did a lot of stuff that made me uninterested. Like, I became uninterested with the whole Dolph Ziggler storyline. I didn't really care for that. I became uninterested with the storyline with Joe Gacy, and that took a lot away from Bron Breakker. And so I'm kind of like, I think whether or not Bron Breakker wins, fine, whatever. Like, I think Cameron Grimes is only going to help him elevate that, you know, elevate him as a champion, right? Defeating Cameron Grimes would elevate him as a champion. But part of me is like, damn, I kind of would like to see Cameron Grimes as champion to change things up. And I do think that he would do a phenomenal job. And the last promo that he cut last week, where he was talking about the differences about, you know, how his dad gets to be in the front row and this and that. And then this week, he kind of, you know, brought up some really good stuff here. He basically said, if you lose the championship, you're going to go to Raw. You're going to go to SmackDown. You're going to end up on SummerSlam. And so that kind of, I think he's basically, the last couple of weeks, he's been telling Bron Breakker, like, bro, you're privileged. You're privileged because of your family. And that's pretty much the story. Like, here I am, you know, working. I have everything to lose and nothing to lose at the same time. And you're here because of your name and your family lineage. And then he says, this isn't my plan B. This is your plan B because you didn't make it in the NFL. And he kind of goes that direction too. And then he says, you just call your daddy up on the phone and then you got an opportunity here in NXT. So those were some of the things that he said in this promo. And I freaking loved it. I love the seriousness of it all. I love the points that he was making. I loved it all. And I think that Cameron Grimes is probably one of the most underrated guys right now in WWE, especially NXT 2.0. But I would throw him in there across all the brands, you know. This is a guy that should have been on the main roster long time ago, and he hasn't. But, you know, he's here in NXT 2.0. He's hustling. He's making do with what he's been giving, and he's been making it work. So anyways, after this, basically he ends up, they end up fighting, and Grimes ends up putting Bron Breakker straight into the turnbuckle, not once, but twice. And it's on the second time that when he hits it, the top rope essentially crumbles down and it falls apart. And so he's basically selling his shoulder. And so Cameron Grimes gets in his face, and at first he acts all concerned, but then he says like, oh, well, now you're not 100%. And he was basically mocking him, saying, well, I have a good or better chance at beating you because you're not 100%. And I was a fan of all of this. This is the first thing that I've legitimately been a fan of in terms of surrounding the NXT World Championship picture since Breakker became champion. So this was good stuff, guys, at least to me. Thank you so much to P.S. Yentis, who says, for Denise's shoe fund. Thank you so much for this very generous super chat. I really appreciate you for sending this in and for also making me laugh about my shoe fund. Thank you very much. Guys, please give some love to PSY Entist over in the chat. Also, thank you so much to M. Duran, who sends in a super chat saying, we all love Nikita, but she's larger than she was on. She's, well, I almost feel like Vince will see her and want her to lose weight. Okay, so I don't want to touch on that because I feel like, I don't know. I don't want to compare anybody's body like that. I don't want to do that. And I don't know. It just doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel right to me. But thank you so much for sending in a super chat. It just doesn't feel like a comfortable topic to kind of talk about. Brandon Rosen sends in a super chat saying, I'm thinking Bron drops the title next week and goes to the main roster. Raw and SmackDown are desperate for new stars, and Grimes could be a great heel champion. I mean, if they want to send over Bron Breakker to the main roster and have Cameron Grimes take over as champion right now in NXT 2.0, hell freaking yeah, I'd totally be on board with that. Completely be on board with that, honestly. Thank you so much to Brandon Rosen for sending in this super chat as well. Thank you very much. All right, guys, so there you go. That was NXT 2.0. CEO, the June 28th edition. I will be back tomorrow for AEW Dynamite coverage. We got Blood and Guts, so that's going to be a very heavy, fun show to discuss. Make sure you guys tune in for that. I will not be here this Friday because I will be in Las Vegas. Unless I have amazing Wi-Fi in my hotel, then maybe I will be here, but it's been hard to promise shows when I'm in hotels because I just don't know what kind of Wi-Fi service I'm going to get. And it's a serious, serious freaking pain. But hopefully you guys come in tomorrow for AEW Dynamite coverage. On top of that, please make sure to head on over to youtube.com/Denise Salcedo and check out those Scrum videos and check out some of the other interviews that I've been posting as well. Until next time, I'll see you guys later. Bye, everyone.